welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host this morning, Richard Rutledge, and I thank you for being with us today as we continue our study through the Old Testament. That is our goal for 2017, is to, as we did in 2016, go through the New Testament. 2017, we are going through the Old Testament. If you missed any of those studies, remember, you can go back to the on-demand section on the webpage. Select those things, those lessons you may have missed, and you can pick those things up there and continue your study. But today we are in the book of Proverbs, continuing that now. We are in Proverbs 9 this morning, so I hope that you have your Bibles handy, notepads to take notes and follow along. If you're unable to do so, just listen as we go. Before we get started, though, as normal, we'd like to remind you of events that are going on that we've been made aware of via the bulletin board, and we have a few of those for you. One thing that's going on kicked off Friday at Sevierville, Tennessee, at the event center, the convention center there at the Wilderness of the Smokies, and it is Polishing the Pulpit 2017. I think when I was there Friday, he said that they have about 4,500 people registered already. But if you are in the area, it will continue today through Thursday. There are classes for everyone. They have classes for your children. They're going to have classes for preachers, teachers, elders, husbands and wives, family classes, all sorts of things planned throughout it. You can go to polishingthepulpit.com, find out information about it. But that is an event that is going on right now that you would benefit from if you are in the Sevierville, Tennessee area or going to be up that way between now and Thursday. The Blossom Congregation is hosting a Ladies' Day. This will be Saturday coming up on the 26th. It's going to start at 8:30 a.m. and run through about 1 p.m. And the topic is comfort, and Nancy Wheat is the speaker. And that is at the Blossom Church of Christ in Blossom, Texas. Then on September the 15th through the 17th, the Granberry Street Congregation in Cleburne, Texas, is hosting a marriage and family seminar, What Every Family Needs. It's going to be John and Carla Moore. That'll kick off Friday about 7 p.m., and it will conclude on Sunday, but it'll be running through the morning on Saturday as well. You can get information by going to cleburne.church/family or the same, but backslash family seminar. Or just give them a call, 817-517-7713. I was talking to their preacher, Kevin Rhodes, Friday, and he was telling me that they're looking forward to this event. Their whole theme for the year has really been focusing on marriage and family. He's teaching lessons on a regular basis about that as well. So not only you have this opportunity, but if you're over in the Cleburne area and you have an opportunity to drop in for one of their general assemblies, their worships and Bible study times, I know that you would benefit from that as well. And again, that is at the Granberry Street in Cleburne, Texas, on September the 15th through the 17th. The North Main Congregation in Malvern, Arkansas, they have a Ladies' Day coming up, and it is a Make Me a Servant. Make Me a Servant is the theme. Lisa Harris will be the speaker. This will be September the 23rd will be the date, 9 a.m. registration. They're going to provide lunch. They've asked that you would RSVP for that event. You can do so by calling Amanda at 225-326-9179. You can call or email. You can go to malvernchurchofchrist.org for information. All of that will be available there as well. I do not have the specifics on this next Ladies' Day. My wife told me that she got a text from about it, but it is going to be September the 30th, ladies, September the 30th at the Maud Congregation, Maud Church of Christ, Maud, Texas. They are having a Ladies' Day on September 30th. This will be with Cindy Colley. So if you want information, check it out. Go to the Maud webpage, and you can get their contact information. But that will be on September the 30th, ladies. October the 5th through the 7th is the scheduled date for the Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat for 2017. This is at the Heart of Texas Bible Camp in Brady, Texas. And they've got several ladies lined up to teach and to speak that weekend for the ladies there. You can go to TexasLadiesInChrist.org or call 325-600-4143 for more information on that. I know that they were recently filling up quickly. Now, I'm not sure if the deadline has passed or if they're completely full, but give it a look. Find out if you want to attend that that ladies' retreat. You need to get those registrations in. Well, that's all that I have on the bulletin board this morning. Maybe you are aware of something that we are unaware of, that we haven't seen. Do us a favor. Shoot us an email at mornings@tgrn.org. That's mornings@tgrn.org. And we'll do our very best to get that information out in a timely manner so that you will be able to be a part of those things. And folks will be able to hear about your event. But we're going to take just a brief break. We're going to come back in just a moment and begin Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9. Stay with us.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves the children dear. Children far away are near. They are safe when in his care. Every day and everywhere. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy thine. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Good morning and welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Again, I am your host, Richard Rutledge, and I thank you for being with us today as we continue in the Old Testament. Specifically, Proverbs chapter 9 is where we are this morning. So if you have your Bibles, open them up, and we will begin looking at this text. I just have it titled on mine, A Tale of Two Houses, because we are going to see the offer of wisdom and the offer of folly in their house. And so we're going to note those things this morning. We're going to see the house of wisdom's offer in verses 1 through 6. Notice these first three verses, though, as it describes the house of wisdom. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. And she has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. There is preparation that has been made by wisdom. These things that she has done, they are those which have been done and stand firm. It is complete. But she has built her house, reminds me, especially here with the has hewn out seven pillars. This strength that is there of this foundation is the foundation that we even read about at the end of that great Sermon on the Mount. about the wise. In Matthew 7, 24 and 27, Jesus concluded that sermon, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them shall be likened, or hears these sayings of mine and does them not, shall be likened to the foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I think about the parallel in Luke chapter 6, in 46 to 49, where Jesus again speaks of the preparation of foundation, but here we see what the wise man did. He, it says, built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation upon the rock. There was great preparational effort made by the wise, and we see it here. She built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars, the great foundational efforts. As even at the end of the sermon, we see it even in this proverb, there is the comparison and contrast between the wise and the foolish, and wisdom's house and folly's house are seen in this proverb. We'll see the end of it in at the end of this proverb with the foolish. But this pillar, this foundation which will stand, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, Paul speaks of it being also as of the church. "But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." And even the individual in Revelation 3 and verse 12 that overcomes, "He that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out." There is a the idea of this foundation and of this pillar, there is a permanency to it. But then also, notice what else wisdom has done. She has prepared the table. She has slaughtered the meat, mixed the wine, and furnished the table. The psalmist tells us that that is what our shepherd does. Psalm 23, verse 5, "He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He says, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." Preparations for this table within this house are ready. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 22 is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and he sent forth his servants to call. This is what he says in verse number 3 here. Not only is the preparation made of the house, the table, but also now the invitation. She has sent out her maidens, and the king has sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth another servant, telling them which were bidden, "Behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." But they made light of it, and they went on their way. And so what happened? Well, they didn't want to come. They killed the prophets. But what do we see in verse number 9? He sent again. And this time, though, he said, "Go therefore into the highways, as many as you shall find, and bid them to the marriage." So the servants went out into the highways, and they gathered together all the many that they had found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. This offering goes out, and here wisdom has sent forth her maidens, and she cries out in the highest place of the city. She's crying out everywhere, as Jesus said that he did in John 7 and 37. In the last days of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." If any. In John 18 and 20, Jesus said, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogues and in the temple, and wherever the Jews also resort, in secret I have And in secret have I said nothing." Wisdom is crying out in the high places. The preparations were made. Now the invitation is made. Notice verses 4 and 5, the offer. Whosoever is simple, let him turn and hear. And for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come and eat of my bread and drink of my wine that I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. Whosoever is simple, she cries out to everyone, but now she calls to let him turn in. If you are wanting what she offers, if you are lacking what she has, she is offering wisdom in the simple lack. Proverbs 1 has already told us there in verse 22, wisdom says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. We see this continued thought here in a moment of the reaction to the offers. But in Psalm 19 and verse 7, the psalmist reminds us, what is it that is able to make the simple wise? But the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Come, eat of my bread, drink of my wine that I have mixed. This meal that is laid upon the table. In Isaiah 55, Isaiah records, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, and hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Just as wisdom cries out and calls out with an invitation, so does heaven. Come and eat. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus calls in Matthew chapter 11, beginning of verse number 28. But he says in verse number 6, forsake foolishness is part of this offer, this call. Come and eat and come partake, but you must forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. Turn away, repent. That's what we're talking about here. Acts 17 and 30, the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Turn away from this. Leave those things behind. Forsake foolishness. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 2 Chronicles 6 and verse number 17. The psalmist says concerning that in Psalm 26 verse 4, and 5, I have not sat with a vain person, neither will I go in with a disassembler. I have hated the congregation of the evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. This individual, the blessed man of Psalm 1, is diligent to maintain the proper fellowship. But here, he says, forsake this foolishness that you may live. There's a choice that we make. Which way will we walk? Go in the way of understanding, not in the way of foolishness. Jesus, in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, says, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. In Luke 13, 24, he said, strive to enter that gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Forsake foolishness and go in the way of understanding. It reminds me of what Moses would speak in Deuteronomy 30. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. The choice is to be made. When we look at this offer and this choice, the people would have to choose. He says, forsake the foolishness and go in the way of understanding. In Jeremiah 6 and 16, the people made a choice. He says, stand in the way and seek. This is what the Lord said. Stand in the way and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. The offer is made of wisdom's house in verses 1 through 6. Notice the reactions, though, of the wise and the foolish in verses 7 through 12. It says, he who corrects the scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Now, there are several things that we see here, and this is dealing with this person, the scorner, the scoffer. These individuals are spoken of throughout the book of Proverbs. If you look in Proverbs 14 and verse 9, the fool makes a mock of sin. The scoffer, he mocks at sin. He is an individual in Proverbs 19 and 28. He mocks and scorns the judgment, for an ungodly witness scorns judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. He is an individual, Proverbs 21 and verse 24, that is a proud individual. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who deals in proud wrath. In Proverbs 13 and verse 1, he is an individual who hates to be rebuked. Because here we even see the scorner, if you correct the scorner, you're going to get shame for yourself. If you rebuke this wicked man, it only harms you. If you correct him, he's going to hate you. And that is exactly what happens. When you point out sin in the lives of individuals who live as though there is no God, or have educated themselves to the point where they no longer even believe God, that is Romans chapter 1, remember, because there was a time, it says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but he says their foolish heart was darkened. And what did they do? Look at verse number 22. They're professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. That's what they had done. And here, this scorner is that man. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner hears not rebuke. He stops his ears and doesn't listen. That's what they did in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen is preaching Jesus, basically the same sermon that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. And it says they stopped their ears, they gnashed their teeth, they ran upon him. He does not want to hear rebuke. And not only does he hate what you have to say, he begins to hate you. Proverbs 15 and verse number 12, a scorner loves not the one that reproves him, and neither will he go unto the wise. You can see that today in a culture that we live in, especially here in America. If one rebukes or speaks out against an evil or the sin that's going on, they begin to attack the messenger more than the message. They begin to hate not only what you say, but the one who says it. It's nothing new. Paul, even writing to the churches of Galatia, in Galatians 4 and verse 16, he says, am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? This is the practice of many. But that is one reaction. The scoffer, the fool, hates it when he is rebuked. But notice the B part of verse number 8 and 9. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. When a wise man, when a man who loves truth, when he loves God and he wants to do the will of God, when he is rebuked, when error is pointed out to him, he uses it to his own advantage. That is, that he will increase in knowledge, he will increase in wisdom, he will better himself because of it, and not only will he use the instruction that is given, but he will love the one who gave it even more. That's what it tells us here. A wise man, rebuke that wise man, and he will love you for it. Proverbs 13 and verse number 18, poverty and shame be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regards reproof shall be honored. Proverbs 28 and 23, he that rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 141 and verse 5 says, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. The smiting of the righteous is done in kindness. He says, let him reprove me, and it will be a healing oil. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We are to go and to instruct that brother, but do so with kindness. Let the righteous smite me, and it shall be kindness. Let him reprove me or rebuke me, and it'll be an excellent healing oil upon my head. That is that idea of restoring. Restore such a one. Heal. James says in James chapter 5 and verse number 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which covers the sinner, converts the sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from hell and shall hide a multitude of sins. Going to them and helping and healing them. That's what we see in 2 Samuel chapter 7, there beginning in verse number 7, when Nathan had the courage and the love for David to go to him and to speak to him about the sin that he had committed, that he needed to turn away when he says to David, thou art the man, a rebuke, and a rebuke in love. We know that, David loved him even more. He's still with David. We see it even after, the birth of Solomon, as he's there and continues to care for and help along the way. There is this bond that will even grow even closer. But in Galatians chapter 2, we see the love of a brother, and that is the brother Paul, who would rebuke a brother whom he loves, and that is Peter. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, but when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before the certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away in their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the gospel of truth, he said, rebuked him. I said to Peter. And so here is this rebuke of the wise, and he will love you. In Acts chapter 8, Peter himself would have to rebuke a new brother in Christ. We know him as Simon the Sorcerer. That's what we call him. He had been, remember, an individual who had heard Philip's preaching and believed and had obeyed. Because it tells us, remember, concerning Simon beforehand, they had regard because for a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. That's what the abilities that he had and had done. But notice what it says. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs that were done. But what happened? Well, when the apostles came down and they laid hands on those who were baptized, that Simon, when he saw it, it says in verse number 18, that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that whomever I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter said to him, "Your money perishes with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness and pray God. Perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I perceive that you are in a gall of bitterness and a bond of iniquity." And Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken will come upon me." Yeah, Simon doesn't resist this rebuke, but embraces it and embraces the brother who did it. He looks at him and he says, "You, my brother, are a righteous man." James 5 and verse 16, "For the effective fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much." He looks to Peter and says, "Pray for me also." And so rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Because Proverbs 1 and verse 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." In verses 10 and 11, though, as we continue also in these reactions, the reaction of the fool, the reaction of the wise, here's a conclusion of that thought even. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you." The fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's how this book begins. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Job tells us this is the foundational thought and foundation for our life. Job 28 and 20, "And unto a man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil, that is understanding." Psalm 111 and verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever." And we know that the old preacher said that was the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear the Lord, or fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." But wisdom cries out, not only is that the truth, "But for by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you." There's a promise attached to it. Just as we see Paul speaking about to the children of the children obey their parents in the Lord, "For this is right, honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. There in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord will give you." There's a promise attached, and here is also a promise attached to this. Fear of the Lord is the beginning. "For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you." Proverbs 10 and verse 27, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 2. That you might fear the Lord your God and keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your sons and your sons' sons, all the days of your lives, that your days may be prolonged. This is that abundant life, John 10 and verse 10. When we serve God and live with God, you know, there's a promise that's attached to it. Now, that doesn't mean that the righteous won't die. We always die. But there will be a time when we will live forever with our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a promise attached. This type of living prolongs, all things being equal. It's the good life. But then he says, if, verse 12, if you're wise, you are wise for yourself. But if you scoff, you bear it alone. The reaction, whatever choice you make, you choose for yourself, and the consequences are yours to bear alone. Proverbs 16 and 26, he that labors, labors for himself. That's what we're dealing with here. The law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7 through 9, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For that man that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The law of sowing and reaping is here. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. It benefits you. If you are a scoffer, you're going to bear it alone. It is your own fault. Well, the house of wisdom has made her offer in the very beginning, verses 1 through 6. Now the house of folly makes a counteroffer in verses 13 to 18. Let's notice verses 13 to 15 first. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house, on a seat by the highest places of the city, to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. A foolish woman, as opposed to wisdom, has built her house that we begin with. And it is personified, wisdom, as the lady, the woman. She has built her house. She has made preparations of her house all together, and everything is ready before she makes the cry, makes the call, the invitation, the offer. But the foolish woman, she's a loud woman. And there's a lot of those today. But she is a loud woman. That's what she is, clamorous. The idea that she is boisterous and loud, but she knows nothing. Proverbs 7, verses 10 and 11, behold, he says, there I met a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart, but notice what she said. It says, she is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. This is the foolish woman. She's loud and stubborn. She's simple. She knows nothing. But she tells everyone all that she knows. She sits in the door of her house on the seat by the high places of the city, and she calls to those who pass by who go straight on their way. Everyone who's walking by, she's crying out to them, calling out to them, and annoying, really, with it. Proverbs 21 and verse 9, because it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. This loud and boisterous, contemptuous woman. Proverbs 21 and verse 19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. This loud, boisterous, clamorous, foolish woman. He said it would be better to dwell in the wilderness without a house than with her. Why? Proverbs 23 and verse 27, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lies in wait for a prey, increases the transgressions among men. She is lying in wait. She is calling to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. She's laid the snare, laid the trap. But the offer is there, the counteroffer, and here it is. Whosoever is simple. That was the offer, and to whom the offer that wisdom made. As she had prepared everything, prepared the table, prepared the house, she sent out her maidens. We don't see any of that with the foolish woman. She is there doing it herself, but here it is. Whosoever is simple, let him turn in here. That was the wisdom's offer. Whosoever is simple, let him turn in here. Here is the counter offer. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Oh, the taboo that she offers. She says that which is stolen is sweeter water. Over in Genesis chapter 3, you know, forbidden fruit is sweeter, but it rots faster. We saw that with Eve, as she would partake of that which was not hers to partake of. The offer here is that, you know what, this stolen water is something that would be enjoyed. And you do it behind closed doors in secret. It is a pleasant thing to enjoy. Oh, yes, sin has its pleasures. Remember, the book of Hebrews reminds us about that sin. There in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because he would not enjoy the pleasures of sin that were seasonal. 11 and verse number 25. Yes, it's pleasurable, and this is what she is enticing the simple with. Not a prepared meal that I have slaughtered the beast, I have mingled the wine, and I have gotten everything ready. It instead is, I have stolen, and it is to be eaten in secret. Proverbs 20 and verse 17, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Yes, it is pleasant at the moment, but it does you no good. In Proverbs 23, verses 31 and 32, even the idea of the alcohol, the wine, look not upon the wine when it is red in the cup, when it gives its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. Why? Because at last it bites like a serpent and it stings like an adder. Sin promises great things, but the payoff is very, very painful. It is stolen water, and it is sweet at first. It is something which is eaten in secret. Proverbs 7:18-20, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home, and he is gone on a long journey. He takes his bag of money with him and will come at the appointed day appointed. The secrecy of it. No one's going to know. Let us eat this in secret. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 20, it says, for such is the way of the adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. It is hidden behind closed doors. But Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 12, it is a shame to speak of the things which are done of them in secret. Oh, there. See, this is what she offers. But the result is, in verse number 18, notice what it says. But he that knows not, verse number 18, but he does not know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. He doesn't know what's behind that door. He doesn't know where he's going. You know, when he goes in, there's going to be a great surprise. He does not know that the dead are there. In Proverbs 1 and verse number 7, Psalm 82 and verse number 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are their course. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know what's there. And there are some who, just as Peter mentions concerning this ignorance, are willingly ignorant of that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 5, that's what the scoffer is. They're willingly ignorant. But behind the closed doors are the dead. Proverbs 5 and verse number 5, her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. They are leading to a place where you do not want to go. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt the precious life. Proverbs 7 and 27. It says, her house is the way of hell and going down into the chambers of death. And also in Proverbs 2, there's so many warnings here by Solomon. In Proverbs 2, verses 18 and 19, for her house inclines unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the path of life. You see, there are so many things out there that will ensnare us, take hold of us, and pull us down. I was talking to a young man the other day, and he has been struggling with the meth. He's been into prison because of it, and he's got into some trouble again. And the fact is that that's something that grabs a hold of you, and you can't escape. And it's this idea of Proverbs 2 and verse 19. None that go into her return again, neither take they hold of the path of life. There are some of those things that grab a hold and do not release us. But that's why it is so important for New Testament Christians to rebuke, to point out, to show the way. Notice what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 24 through the end. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but must be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. The ESV says on this verse that the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. And listen to this, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. That they can come out of that. You know, once they are ensnared, and once we are ensnared with sin, we are servants of sin, but we can break free. We know that from Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, where Paul there says, but thanks be to God, you who were slaves or servants to sin have obeyed from the heart that pattern of doctrine which you have received. The pattern, the gospel, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who are dead to sin, continue any longer therein? Romans chapter 6. How can we continue therein? Do you not know that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the glory, from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. The fact is that that old man, if you keep reading, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We can break free. We can overcome, but not by ourselves, not of ourselves. And that's what the Proverbs writer is pointing out here, that this way that she offers, that folly offers, the house of folly and her counter offer, only offers death. And the simple doesn't understand what's behind door number two. Because he does not know that the dead are in there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. There is no return for many. That's Proverbs 2, 18 and 19. Well, Proverbs 9, a tale of two houses. The house of wisdom's offer in the beginning and the house of folly's counter offer at the end. Hopefully we will make the right choice, have the right reaction, as we see in the middle between these two. Choose wisely and follow wisdom. Choose life and blessings, not cursings and death. Well, we're out of time today, but you have opportunities throughout the day to continue listening. There are great programs behind us. You have the Good News Today with Jim Dearman. Got to visit with him briefly just Friday. Always glad to see him. He does such a fantastic work there with Good News Today. You can hear that at 11 a.m., followed by Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine, Rick Popejoy and crew. I'm not sure who's going to be on today because I know that Rick is up at Polishing the Pulpit, or he was this weekend, so he may still be there. But the program will be great. I know that, so tune in for that. Then you also have listening opportunities throughout the day. Don't forget, though, to tune in tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here from Mount Vernon, Texas, for Mornings for the Master. Ryan will continue. I think tomorrow is chapters 10 and 11 he will have. So tune in for that. Until next time, we hope that you have a great and a blessed day.
Been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.